Genesis. I'm going to read in three different chapters in Genesis dealing with Joseph. This is not in any way related to that message, but I have a message on Joseph that deals with the will of God and how to find the will of God or knowing the will of God from the life of Joseph. Matter of fact, probably sometime in this next year I'll preach that again. I think it's been about 5 years since I have preached that. It might have just been a minute of faith even the last time. And knowing the will of God, that certainly is important, from small decisions even this past month, even through today, even shortly before church, getting the text as Levi is praying about a decision for his summer, where he's going to spend the summer, whether interning at a church or back with MBT, heading back over to Ireland, Scotland, and Norway again. And just something you don't have to fret about. Just stay yielded. When the time comes to make a decision, make a decision. That's all you have to do. And Lord will protect you in it. God's in control. You don't have to fret like, what if I get this wrong? You're not going to. Just stay yielded. If you'll stay yielded, what can happen. Let's say he's supposed to be. This is how much God is in control. We fret over stuff we don't need to fret over. You just stay yielded and close to God, and he will direct. Let's just say, that somehow Levi gets the wires crossed between heaven and he decides to go to that internship, and the Lord's like, dummy, I want to live in Europe. God's in control. Know what he can do? He can have circumstances change in that church. They have to call Levi up and say, you know what? We can't have it now. The Lord will direct. We just have to stay yielded so we're in that place where God isn't worrying about chastising us or correcting us. He's worrying about guiding us. And he'll do just that. But this angle that I want to take with Joseph is sort of related to the will of God, because I think he is the greatest example of knowing the will of God in the Bible. There's several, but it's just so clear with his life with Joseph. From this angle, I want to take from it is performing the will of God, finishing it. So let's go to Genesis 37 first. This is when we're really introduced to Joseph. Read just a couple of verses from each of these chapters here. And again, just really such an incredible, incredible man. He is without a doubt one of the men I so look forward to heaven, to sitting down and having a conversation with this guy. One, I just want to tell a man, thank you. Your testimony helped me so much in my life. Just witnessing the things you went through, how you handled it, and just incredible. And we'll see some of those things tonight, because I believe they're key to finishing the will of God. So Genesis 37, this is when we get a glimpse of him here. Well, really, let's say this. Here is the will of God. We knew this for him. In Genesis 37:5, it says this. And Joseph dreamed a dream, told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. So remember, they already hated him. But it's even deeper now. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. They bowed down to his. And his brethren said to him, shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream. Now this, I have to question, why did you tell him it again? I don't quite understand that. And told it to his brethren and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. He told it to his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said to him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the same. So keep in mind here, Joseph is not a man of pride. He did not allow that carnal desire, that carnal sin to control him. He wasn't saying this from a position of pride. In some ways, Joseph is excited, not because of his position in the dream, but because God is making clear what's going to happen in his life. God's will for his life. Let's go over to chapter 41. This is more than, this is what, 17 years later in his life, this is, or 13 years later in his life, says in verse, let me start in verse 41. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand. You're seeing come to fruition, Joseph being in a position to fulfill exactly what God told him was going to take place. And arrayed him in vestures of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, bow the knee, and he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. Let's go to chapter 42. Look at verse 6. Now, isn't it true? I know I bring this up with Joseph, but it is. When you're going through the reading through the Bible systematically, which I hope you're doing, and you get to this portion in Genesis, it's just one of the sections you just can't stop. You gotta keep on going just to finish it because you know what's coming. But anyhow, verse 6 says this. It says, and Joseph was the governor over the land, and he it was that sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brethren came and bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth. And Joseph saw his brethren, and he knew them, but made himself a stranger unto them, spake roughly unto them, and said unto them, whence come ye? And they said, from the land of Canaan to buy food. And Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew not him. And Joseph remembered the dreams which he dreamed of them, and said unto them, ye are spies to see the nakedness of the land, are ye come? Let's go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we certainly do love you, and I thank you for your word. And Lord, I ask your blessing upon the message tonight. I pray that you would direct in it. I pray that you'd guide in it. I pray that it would be a help to your people. Lord, I pray this wouldn't be a hindrance, but it would truly strengthen them in their walk with you. And Lord, you would use your word tonight with your spirit to draw us closer. And Lord, to help all of us to get into a place in our life where if there's something that's really in place in our life that's hindering us from accomplishing what you would have us to do from your will. Lord, please, I pray that you would convict tonight and help us to be surrendered and yielded even to the place of repentance so that we truly can finish what you have called us to do. Again, Lord, I love you, and I pray and ask all this in Christ's name. Amen. I mean, Joseph's life really is incredible. I've done a Men of Faith entire series on Joseph. It was one of my, hands down, one of my favorite college courses was the life of Joseph. He typifies the Lord Jesus Christ in so many ways. We see him in, as we began in chapter 37, really from 37 on, with the exception of 38, the rest of Genesis on all deals with this man, Joseph. Really was such an incredible man. At a young age, again, he is the second youngest in his family. Only Benjamin is younger than Joseph. And Dad recognized his leadership. It wasn't that Dad had, there's some wisdom at the coat of many colors, but again, what I truly believe, based on customs we know from that time, is that that coat simply represented his position that Dad promoted him to. And wherever Joseph was, he had a special gift of God, I believe, when it came to leadership, organization, that drive to get it done. He clearly possessed that because everywhere he went, the man was promoted to an incredible position of leadership. And that was true, of course, when he was a teenager. His dad recognized it and put him in charge. That was the reason why his brothers were hating him, because of the position just about their youngest brother was put in. You can just imagine being 30 years old. I mean, Daniel would love me right now, and Levi was 15. And I said, you know what? Levi's your boss. We would just have a great relationship if that was the take. We should have done an experiment like that. I would have liked that. And that was the position Joseph was put into. Now, think what was going on in Joseph's mind as a teenager at that point. What he was going through. In other words, at this young age, teenagers, listen to this. This could be a whole, we can do a whole new youth night right here with that point. What we learn from Joseph, because of how faithful he was to that position, there is no doubt that man's life was genuinely about God already. Because you think he wants to be hated by his brothers? Absolutely not. I mean, there's no way he wants that. And yet, even if you know the whole story, you realize he's even put in a really tough position at times. And he always, always honors God, even when he knew it meant, boy, they're going to hate me even more right now. So you see this in the life of the man, and of course, then he has the dreams, which God is telling him at that young age, Joseph, this is what's going to happen with you. Here is my will for your life. This is what's going to come to pass. And within that dream, he knew what it meant. He was an interpreter of dreams. That his family, there would be a circumstance one day when his family would bow down before him. He didn't understand how or why. God didn't reveal any of that. He just told him that. Joseph let the family know. Obviously, his brothers hated him more. His dad even rebuked him. But then his dad did wonder, because what dad knew more than the others, dad wasn't allowing, like the siblings were, bitterness or anger or jealousy to blind what he knew of his son. So his dad was able to step back and say, you know what, I better observe this. This kid doesn't play around with God. He's serious about it. So dad observed it. Of course, you know the story. I mentioned it this morning. They sell him as a slave. He's in Potiphar's house. He's not there long. Potiphar recognizes there's something special about this man. He's different. Promoted. Head of the house. I'm going to get into that here in just a little bit. Promoted head of the house. We know what happens. His wife lays eyes on Joseph. Joseph maintains such integrity with it. And flees away. She's just furious at the rejection that had taken place. That she accuses him of rape, which wasn't true. He's thrown in prison for a crime he never committed. And it looks as if he'll never leave the prison. But the guy just stays faithful to the Lord throughout. And guess what happens into the prison, of course? He is promoted. He's put in, basically, underneath the warden, put in charge of the prison as a prisoner. Because of the guy's leadership, his organization, whatever it was, everybody recognized it. And we know the story. The butler and the baker get thrown into the prison. Joseph interprets their dreams. He lets them know one of you is being executed, one of you is being restored. Pharaoh's going to figure it out. And he tells them, please remember me when you're restored back. Don't forget me. But of course, he forgets. But that was all of God. Complete. Just think about that. That was all of God. And then you know where we read there. That's where Pharaoh has his dreams and they're just tormenting him. And then all of a sudden, was it the butler was restored? Am I remembering right? Butler was restored. That's how we know that, yes. The butler was restored, and the butler says, oh, I remember my fault, man. There's a guy in the prison. Then this guy's basically in charge. He's a prisoner, but man, he's a really, really good guy. He actually told me I was going to be restored off of a dream. And so anyhow, Pharaoh calls for him, and then Pharaoh is just completely blown away in this initial meeting. He's never met the man before. Here it is. So much so that Pharaoh himself says, I am making you prime minister. I'm Pharaoh, but there's not a foot moving in this land without you knowing it. He puts him in charge. Then we know the sweetness of the story where God used all this to save his family. Joseph went through all that, but he had no clue what he was going through one day would save his family. He never knew that. It would save his family. There's things, times we go through things that we always don't understand. That we don't. But God does.
He understands.
And so Joseph, and of course it comes to pass as we read, the family bows down. Joseph, in other words, he absolutely finished God's will for his life. He's a teenager. God lets him, I'm going to use you to this point, to this degree. And he finished it. He fulfilled it. Just incredible. So what is it that God would have you to fulfill? What is it God's will sort of for your life that you need to accomplish? Now, we're not going to have dreams. That was in times past. People that claim that today, that's simply, the Bible is very clear in this. And now he speaks to us through his word, through his sons. In times past, it says, he spoke to the prophets through dreams and visions. You say, why did that end? It's simple. Guess how many books of the Bible Joseph had? Zero. Not one. And until the completion of the revelation, God spoke through those dreams, visions, and those prophets. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part was completed, done away with, finished. And so for us, what we have in knowing what God's will is God's Word. It's right here. Some of the examples given, now there's personal direction in our life, like I described with Levi, but I'm telling you, unless you're doing the things that are the revealed will of God, please, just shut up about that stuff you don't know then. Just obey just do what you do know. For instance, we know it's the will of God that none should perish, and we have the responsibility with the gospel. Is that God's will? Well, there you go. Guess what you can do tomorrow? God's will. Be a witness. Be salt and light. Have a vision for the lost getting saved. Another part of God's will that we can see in God's Word for us, and this is, I'm just getting to the main part of the message. This isn't it yet. Romans 8:29. We are predestined to be what? You know that verse? Conformed to the image of Christ. You know what God's will is for you as well? For God to change you into the image of His dear Son. To change you. That's God's will. And yet we want to be changed into the world. God's will. The Creator Himself has told you, even better than a dream like Joseph got, that my will for you is that I change you into the image of my dear Son. But what I want to really focus on here this evening is what we see from Joseph's life that helped him fulfill God's will. He was given those dreams, and he was in the. It came to pass. It happened. So here's some things that I notice as I look at the life of Joseph from chapters 37 on that were true about his life. Number one, I believe Joseph, that we see, was a hard worker. You're not going to be being put in positions of leadership or recognition if you're lazy or not a good worker or just trying to get out of work or if you lack a measure of integrity when you work or anything else. But when you're strong and dedicated at it, listen, Joseph had to be a hard worker. One, growing up working in the field, that was tough. Potiphar's house would have been difficult. The prison would have been tough. The truth is, for us to accomplish God's will, it does require work. The devil will use laziness, certainly to prevent you from accomplishing God's dreams. Doesn't it ever convict you? I know it does me. Man, that's one of those things almost every day. Lord, I am sorry. I think of the time that I wasted yesterday. I am sorry. So much more to be done. It's sad today. I know in the secular workforce, it was so easy to stand out because I was always amazed from the time I was a teenager on, you know, working from whether that was Big Lots department store, whether it was that steel factory before the Air Force, or whether it was the Air Force itself to Continental. So many people did all that they could to try and avoid work while they were at work. It was just incredible. Don't be that. Be a hard worker. Look at Genesis chapter 39. So Joseph worked hard. Here's something else we know about Joseph. One verse here, Genesis 39:6. And he left, this is Potiphar, so he was sold as a slave. He's in Egypt now. This general's house, and he's a slave to this man who was very wealthy. And it says this in verse 6. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. And he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. Here's what I know about Joseph just from that verse. He was a man of integrity. This guy who has a slave in his house that says, you know what, he's not worried that Joseph is going to steal one thing from him. If Joseph finds a little gold cup somewhere, or a little gold necklace, or a little gold bracelet, or whatever it might be, there's not a concern in this man's mind. There's just no way he ever believed that Joseph would steal it. What it tells us is Joseph had genuine integrity before others. Listen, if you want God to bless, if you're going to fulfill what God has given you to do like Joseph, one, you better work hard. You better be a person of integrity. I mean, we live in a world today that in some ways it's just shocking at the lack of integrity that exists. Be that person when you're at work or teenager or child, even before mom and dad, where they don't have to worry themselves. They know you're a person of integrity. So with that, I think this is important too. I believe where integrity takes us, I think this is good for us adults, especially for parents. That means when you're a person of integrity, you're the same person when you're at church, when you're at home, when you're at work. You don't have a different face when you go to work. It's not a different face when you go home. It's not a different face when you get in that car. Integrity is what guides that. Be a person of integrity. Look at Genesis chapter 41. Here's the third thing. Joseph worked hard. We know he had integrity. I like this. This is when he's standing before Pharaoh. He tells Pharaoh, listen, I've dreamed a dream. There's none that can interpret it. You know, I need help with this. And here's what Joseph said to Pharaoh. And Joseph answered in verse 16, if I didn't say that, Pharaoh saying, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. You know what I love about that? What I see of the life of Joseph, of helping him finish the will of God. He trusted in God. He didn't go before Pharaoh, this is my chance. I got you, Pharaoh. I'm all right. I got you covered. He didn't do that. Like some of these ridiculous TV preachers out there today, the nonsense and the narcissism, the pride that goes with it. Joseph truly trusted in God. He said, Pharaoh, listen, it's not going to be me. This is not in me, so you know. This is the true God. This is the only one who can do this. This is the one who's going to do it. So it showed Joseph still had confidence that he would be able to interpret the dream. That's because Joseph had a genuine trust and a strong relationship with God. He knew the strength of his success. Listen, this is key to finishing the will of God. The strength of his success was determined by his dependence upon God, not his own strength. It's not in me. Fourthly, back to Genesis 39. Look at a couple of verses here. Jump to a couple of verses for this one. Verse number 2 of Genesis 39 says this, and the Lord was with Joseph, and he, Joseph, was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Let me drop down, I believe in the same chapter. Yeah, verse 23, last verse of the chapter. He's now in prison. Verse 23 says this, the keeper of the prison, the warden, looked not to anything that was under his hand because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Because verse 21, he's in the prison, the Lord was with him. Now let's jump over to chapter 41. Chapter 41. See this about Joseph's life. Same principle in all these that I'm drawing out in these verses. Verse 14 of chapter 41. And then I'm going to jump to verse 40. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon and shaved himself, changed his raiment, and he came unto Pharaoh. Now, everything ends with Pharaoh here. This is what it says in verse 40. Thou shalt be over my house according unto thy word, and all according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. Then he takes off his ring. He puts it on Joseph's hand. He arrayed him. He even puts him in that second chariot, gold chained about his neck. The point of all these verses I want to point out, and this is what destroys many of us. Listen, Joseph knew how to handle prosperity. He knew how to handle prosperity. It never changed who he was. See, so often when we have needs and we're desperate and we're down and everything like that, we can tend to depend upon God and trust in Him. But too often, when that time ends and God blesses, prosperity is what ruins us. That's going to do it to the nation of Israel. You get into the book of Judges and that cycle they have. You have to know how to handle prosperity in your life. Some of you say, man, but I've never been prosperous. Just thank God. Thank the Lord. Thank Him. He very well could be protecting you. I mean, we see it throughout the Word of God. Even Deuteronomy, the warning given. Of God telling the nation, telling all of us for that matter, listen, when prosperity comes, don't forget me. Has not America fallen to that same problem? I mean, you can look at our first 130 years where we were so dependent upon God, a struggling nation, and God's blessing hit. Boy, but when prosperity boomed, what's happened? So on a personal level, you need to know how to handle prosperity. And the key is always remembering the prosperity we do have is always a blessing from God. It's not of your own strength. Two more, and I'll be done. Genesis 39. He was a man that knew how to handle temptation. Genesis 39:7, and it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. But he refused, and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. And there is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And we can read on how he would end up fleeing and running away. And what we learn here is Joseph knew how to resist temptation. He's a man now. We're not dealing with a 14-year-old or a 17-year-old anymore. And he's a slave. As far as he knows, you could think of the different ways he could have justified this action. As a slave here, I'm not going to be able to get married. I'm not going to know what it's like to have a wife, to have that experience. I mean, he could have went such a different... I mean, I've tried to stay faithful to the Lord all these years, and he could have tried to just to justify it anyway, but he never did. He resisted temptation. He stayed close to the Lord, and this is, of course, where many of us tend to fall, is right here. But listen, sin will keep you from completing the will of God. This is where we stay close to God, looking for His protection, looking for His help. Praying, Lord, lead me not into temptation. Listen, we all need that strength of God to resist. You know, I believe in Ephesians chapter 6, when it is getting into the armor of God, the devil knows each one of us. He studies us. You can get into that series on the armor. But that verse is all, since I've been a teenager, has grabbed my attention. Where it talks about the evil day. It's a definite article, not a generic article in English that you used to. A definite article, the evil day. And contextually what it's saying is this, is that listen, you got to understand, there's a too often you've heard the saying, while the devil's playing chess, we're just playing checkers. You're being set up for failure for that evil day to come, for that checkmate to come. Joseph, although, was in the place spiritually where he resisted the temptation and he fled from it. And then lastly here this evening, one of the keys that I think helped Joseph finish God's will for his life. And it's I like all these things about Joseph. This one just might be one of my favorite right here. The same thing, it's the concept of God that I've always been had those thoughts about that will just grab my mind at times for hours. And that is the sovereignty of God. Joseph had such a trust. Maybe, I don't think anybody has a full understanding of it. I don't. But enough understanding and such a trust in the sovereignty of God. And boy, did that help him in his life. Boy, did that protect him in his life. You know, I remember trying to figure out... I remember times when I was a teenager starting to serve God and trying to figure out, well, what is meant by God being in control, God being sovereign, and trying to just to begin to grasp that concept. And then I was in Korea when I was on the remote assignment, 94 to 95, when I was in the Air Force. And dwelling on that, I was doing Bible college at the same time I was in Korea, so several different courses were mentioned in it. So I'm dwelling on this thing. I still remember getting home, okay, so how much is God in control? So that day I could not find one of my boots to get to work. I'm like, okay, so was God in control of that? And just trying to get a grasping here of God's sovereignty in our life. Of trying to just to get a glimpse of understanding. And the place where my mind would go to get understanding in the years to come would be Joseph. Turn over to Genesis chapter 50. So Joseph gets the dreams. Immediately, it does not go well for him. His brothers hate him. He goes to check on his brother. They want to murder him overall. They have such true hatred for him. They want to kill him. You know, Reuben prevents the murder from taking place, but he's sold as a slave. He's a slave now in Potiphar's house and serving in that capacity. You don't see any bitterness coming in. You see him still staying faithful. Then he gets accused of a crime, then thrown in prison. Then he's forgotten about when he interprets the dream. I mean, all this taking place in his life, all these really horrible things. And this is what he said. Verse 19 of Genesis chapter 50. And he says this a few times, by the way. This is just one example. And Joseph said unto them, he's talking to his brethren, they were afraid when their dad died that Joseph was going to take vengeance on them because of their actions toward him. You want to know why they thought that? This is true. I believe I can prove it by Scripture. The reason why they were worried about vengeance is because if they were in his position, guess what they would have done? They would have taken vengeance. That's Romans 2:1, by the way. But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Well, you can think, now you know what he was trusting in when he was a slave, when he's in that little cage box, being taken into Egypt, sold by his brethren. Wondering what's going on. I don't get it, but God's in control. Know what he knew? God said, God had given those dreams at the perfect time. He said, listen, this is my will for your life. He could cling to that. We have this. That was the Word of God that he had. And he could cling to that when he's in that little box going down that rough road, hardly given any water, any food, and finally sold to a slave in Egypt at the time, a language he does not know, that he doesn't work, people he doesn't know. I mean, just there, then accused of a crime he never committed, where actually he demonstrated true integrity in it, and he's tossed into prison. And yet the guy stayed faithful. Why? Because he knew God's in control. And then when it all came to pass, here he is before his brethren. He said, listen, I know you meant evil. He never excused their sin. I know you meant evil to me. That was clear. But God meant it for good. And you can just see Joseph just amazed at how God used it. He said, listen, God used this to save much people. It wasn't just Joseph's family that he saved. Think upon the hundreds of thousands of lives that were saved because of Joseph's faithfulness. Because he trusted in the sovereignty of God. Listen, there are times you just got to trust the fact God's in control. God's in control. I will trust Him. With heads bowed and eyes closed.